Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, June 18th, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you,
Brian? Hello. Good morning.
It is excellent, as always, to have you here.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks.
Yeah, also excellent to have here, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I am good. Nice to be here.
And yeah, it's always great to have you here. It's also great to have lynda.com as our sponsor. We'll talk about them soon. But before we do, there's a piece you wrote, Brian, that I thought was really interesting, where you take a look at Edward Snowden and his comments that we should be buying Apple products because by doing so, we will be supporting privacy.
Well, John Constantine did the heavy lifting over at TechCrunch. Really, I was offering our readers a look at that piece. But Edward Snowden was speaking at the Challenges.RS conference, which was taking place in Barcelona. Of course, he was speaking by video conference because, you know, he can't really travel.
No, he really can't.
And he basically made he was asked by John Constantine if he thought that Tim Cook was being sincere in his, you know, when he waxes philosophical about the importance of privacy and about the importance of not trading on people's personal information. And Edward Snowden's response was, well, I don't really know if he is, but it really doesn't matter. We should be supporting Apple in order to incentivize privacy itself.
I thought that was really interesting, Brian, that he was kind of jaded in the sense that he shrugged it off and said, you know, I don't know whether Tim Cook's on the level or not, but it doesn't matter as long as, you know, he seems to be supporting it, we should all do it. Wasn't that interesting?
John, I don't really think he's jaded. I mean, if you look at, I didn't include this part of the quote. I wasn't going to just, you know, like, the quote at the end was that I did not include was he said, and if that position comes to be reversed in the future, I think there should be a much bigger hammer that comes against Apple, because then there's that betrayal of trust. It's a betrayal of a promise to its customers. But I would like to think that based on the leadership that Tim Cook has shown on this position so far, he's spoken very passionately about private issues.
Okay.
That we're going to see, and this is the important part, that we're going to see that continue, and he'll keep those promises. So I don't know if he was being jaded so much as he was just saying that that it's immaterial whether or not he's being sincere. We should be giving companies the incentive to want to be aligned with our interests rather than against us.
Yes.
Yeah, which is, I think, a good perspective for him to have.
Yeah, it is a good perspective. I mean, it's a good point. Of course, you know, Apple is making money hand over fist. I don't really think Apple's making money hand over fist because it's protecting our privacy. It's probably the case for some of us. We've talked about that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But here is an example of a company that can make money without making us the product.
Which is great, and that puts Apple in a position where it's easier for them to make our privacy a selling point.
Right. Apple definitely can afford to keep doing that, and so they are being incentivized to do so. And it's a good point, and it's something that I think that I hope. We've talked recently about the reality that that privacy is going to be a hard sell, even for Apple. And
yes, you wrote a very nice piece about that.
Thank you. These comments like these from other people involved in the privacy and the privacy debate, hopefully we'll help that point.
I hope so. And it just occurred to me, Snowden's comment that some people may be looking at as a jaded response. He's in a position where he's seen a lot of information, and I'm pretty sure that his perspective on what people or companies or governments are doing in our best interest is a little bit jaded now. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's just he's seen a lot of documents, and he knows a lot of things about what government agencies are supposedly doing that totally violate our privacy and do not have, from some people's perspectives, our best interests at heart.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, anyhow, I like his perspective on this, though. I like the idea of using our dollars to send messages to companies to let them know that privacy does matter to us. And if it becomes something that becomes a good selling point for Apple, then other companies may start falling in line and beefing up their privacy for their customers, too.
Yeah, and you know that's not really happening. Yes, Apple's making tons of money. As we've posited, it's probably not because of Apple's privacy stance.
Right.
For a lot of other reasons. But Google's making money too. Facebook is making money. You know, all the companies who have made us the product are also making plenty of money and being rewarded by Wall Street in particular. For what they're doing, so you know there's a long row to hoe on this particular issue.
You know, it could be that the feedback loop isn't definitively and firmly closed on some of these issues. We read about a lot of security problems, and then nothing ever really distinctly happens. So, what I'm saying is that one would expect that there'd be a news item that says, you know, 345,000 Android users yesterday had their bank accounts cleaned up. We don't see those kinds of articles or the kind of news item. So some of these things are hard to exploit. Some of the things get patched up before the bad guys really get on the bandwagon with it. Sometimes it's a proof of concept problem. But I think people don't get too concerned until it affects them personally. If they just cruise along and they're making their phone calls and they're doing their thing, they don't see specifically the real hard effects of the invasion of their privacy or their security issues. And I don't know why that's true yet. I don't have a good feeling about that.
I think a lot of people, and this isn't just a new thing, but historically, I think a lot of people don't really think about, worry about, or care about things that they don't see as something that directly impacts them. And it's not until it becomes a real thing for them,
right,
that they actually care.
Right.
Right.
So if you went to the doctor yesterday because you had a fracture, and then that while you're in the waiting room you get an ad for pain medication, you might suspect something's going on.
I wish Google would let me pay them $100 a year to use their services.
Without ads?
Without ads and without being part of their machine.
That would actually be really nice. I would be willing to drop $100 a year to not have ads.
To not have ads and to not be part of their profile machine. You know, watching, yes, YouTube would be an infinitely more pleasurable experience without having three ads.
You know, yeah.
And without having the intro ad. I mean, you know, I as much as anyone on the planet understand that you don't get something for free. You can't get something for nothing. You know, at some point there's a price to pay for it. I understand that right now the price that I pay to watch a YouTube video is that I'm going to more often than not see an intro ad, and then I'm going to get annoying pop-up ads that cover up part of the content. That is currently part of the price that I pay.
Yes. And for me, it's a price that in some cases is too steep. There's a lot of videos that I don't watch because the intro ad is as long or longer than the video.
there's that too. I've quit before. I've been waiting to see this intro ad brought to you by with an ad popping up in front of it or something. But if Google would let me directly pay for these services, I would become a much bigger fan of the company. I like most of Google's services. I just don't like the fact that they monetize me. That they're selling me to people, and that they're keeping this massive profile on me, knowing everything about me. I don't like that. It's not their services that I have a problem with, though. And if I could pay for it directly, I would conceivably pay more than $99 if I had to. I know when I mentioned this in front of Dave Hamilton once, he said that he thought that Google probably made more money than that off me in a year from various ad-related things. And maybe that's so, but I would just give me that option to pay for it. Whatever the number is, give me that option, and I may choose to pay for it.
I may choose to pay for it as well. I would like to have that option. And that took us a little bit off topic, but that's okay because I really enjoyed that little rabbit hole. But it does dovetail nicely back in with privacy, because if Google is selling everything that they are learning about us, that makes our lives not very private.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point is incentivizing privacy. I mean, I would like to incentivize privacy by having the option of paying for my privacy with Google.
Yeah.
So it's not really off topic, is it?
No, it's not off topic at all.
Thank you.
No, it's not.
Thank you.
It felt like it for a moment, but I stand corrected. Actually, I'm sitting. I sit corrected.
I sit vindicated.
Yes, you do, sir. Yes. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is lynda.com, and that's lynda.com. I'm really glad that they are sponsoring us this week because I love the idea of getting to learn more, regardless of whether or not you're in school. My feeling is if you're not learning, you're not really growing as a person. So I love that lynda.com is out there so that we have an easy way to go and just learn. At learning, because you need to know something for your job, your career, some life task you're working on is great. But also just to get to know something that you didn't know before, totally awesome. Lynda.com, they have over 3,000. Brian, what is it? It's like 3,600 different
3,607 as of yesterday.
There you go. 3,607 titles right now. So you can go and learn like almost anything you can imagine. They have classes on Photoshop and Illustrator and InDesign and WordPress and iMovie and running your business. And just it's amazing the number of titles they have out there. The one that I've been really excited about lately, they have a video training class that teaches you how to program Lego Mindstorm robots.
Nice.
That's just awesome. So the videos that they have, they are easy to follow. They're designed so that you can start watching on one of your devices and pick up where you left off on another. So that makes it easy if you're, say, on a train or a bus on your way to work and you're watching something. And when you get to work or back home, you can pick up on whatever device you have. So you can start, say, on your iPhone or your iPad and then finish up on your Mac later.
Does that work in a house?
It works in a house.
Does it work with a mouse?
It works with a mouse.
Okay. Just checking.
Yes. Yes, it does. And you guys can do this for free. Lynda is offering all of our listeners 10 free days of all of their content, unrestricted access to all of their content. All you have to do is go to their website, which is lynda.com, that's lynda.com/TDO. And from there, you can sign up for your 10 free days and do it. Even if you don't think there's something that that you need to learn, do it, because you can just surf through and find something that looks interesting and then just watch it and learn something new.
Go take that opportunity to learn something.
Yeah. When you're handed an opportunity like this, free education, jump at it, because it's just awesome. So thank you, lynda.com, for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, lynda.com/TDO. Get your 10-day free trial and start getting smarter. Okay, the indie record labels out of the UK, I'm finding it very interesting that they are not hip on the whole Apple Music thing. And for our listeners that may not be up to speed on this, the deal is, Apple, the contracts that they're doing with record labels for Apple Music, they're set so that the three-month window where us as customers can try the service for free is also a window where Apple is not paying any royalties for the music that we listen to. Once we start paying our subscription, then Apple starts paying the record labels as well. So for big record labels that can absorb the potential revenue loss, that's probably okay. But independent record labels aren't happy with this idea. And it turns out that in the UK, the indie labels are pretty much just banding together and have decided they are not going to sign up for Apple Music. I'm curious what you guys think about this.
Well, they're saying that they can't afford it. They're saying basically, so I mean, part of this equation is that Apple is offering more than its usual 70%.
Yes. Right? In the U.S., it's 71.5%. Outside the U.S., it averages to 73%.
So, you know, Apple has been steadfastly paying content producers 70% of everything. 70% in the iBook store, 70% in the App store, 70% in iTunes, 70% in the iTunes store for music and video. It's been a 70%, 70-30 split now since really the iTunes store launched.
Yes.
And this concession, the 73% concession, was to make it substantially less risky for Apple to offer us this 3-month trial window to get used to Apple Music. And in the long run, you know, in the long run, getting 73% actually should be a lot better for folks than getting 70%. That getting 3% more every month for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years would of course make up for those initial 3 months. But I think what the indies in the UK are complaining about or worried about is that their margins are so tight in the first place.
Yes.
They're very concerned. Being in the record business these days is not necessarily a high profit business to begin with, but especially when you're an indie label and you don't have the big ticket stars that tend to pay for everybody else.
Right. And yeah, and so what are these companies supposed to do?
I can't be really very sympathetic towards Apple on this one, Brian, because you would think that Apple would know that if they were going to try to sign up these indie labels and not pay them, that would be some heartburn. And the 3-month trial period seems to be kind of out of sync with Apple's normal mentality. Like, you know, we've designed this so well and so beautifully, you're going to want it. The 3-month free trial period seems like a position of weakness or worrisome that maybe it won't take off the way it should.
I disagree with you on that. I think it's a brilliant move, because if you give someone music like this 3 months for free, by the time that 3-month period ends, this is just part of what they do. It's just part of their daily routine, and they don't want to change their daily routine. Yep. I think the 3-month window is going to make it much more likely that they're going to convert free subscriptions into paid subscriptions.
But we were just talking about that in the previous segment, where we were talking about items that are worth paying for, and that the free hook has baggage associated with it. And here we have a situation where Apple's trying to launch this service, being worrisome that it's not going to take off, and so they're trying to hook people in for free. And that has a financial impact on the very people Apple was claiming they were trying to help. It just doesn't ring true to me.
Well, you know, Apple has some realities it has to deal with, starting with the fact that it does not have a great track record here. You know, iTunes Radio has been mostly a dud. iTunes Match even has its detractors. Beats Music itself wasn't necessarily a huge raging hit. And Spotify owns the market. Spotify and Pandora both are quite popular with customers, even if they don't make any money and no one's making any money through them. So Apple does have a bit of a bar here to get over, and it's to get people to try this. And I think this 3-month window was a concession to that reality that Apple has something to prove here. And if anything, I think that Apple should be commended for acknowledging the fact that it has something to prove here instead of being arrogant and cocky about it. They, you know, were saying, look, try us. You're going to like it.
So the net result is Apple says, well, we think we can compete with these guys. We want to make a lot of money. We're going to hook people in with a free service. It's going to have a financial impact on the indie music labels. We're so worried that we won't be able to compete against Spotify that we have to hook people in with a free service instead of making it so cool that people will just, you know, go to it in droves. Doesn't that go against Apple's normal thinking? Are they gun-shy because of the previous
failures? Would you prefer that Apple be its normal self despite all evidence to the contrary? Doesn't make any sense. You got to do what it takes.
Yes, and in this case, you have to do it in a market where people are already comfortable with the services they're using. So if you're a Spotify user and Apple says, here's a free week of Apple Music, that's probably not enough time to convince you to leave Spotify.
Definitely for the switchers, it's definitely not enough time. Keep in mind, though, that the independent labels in the U.S. have not been complaining about this. This is definitely so far a U.K. phenomenon. And music in the U.K. is a much different industry than it is here because there's a national consensus around a lot of music in the U.K. Music shows on TV are still a very big deal. And yes, they're not here in the States. And, you know, like the Christmas record, like folks in the UK care about the Christmas record. Who's going to be number one for Christmas? I mean, you know, this isn't a part of our culture at all. And we have this, it's interesting that the UK indies are rebelling when we haven't heard much noise coming out of the US. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
It is. Yeah. And we're out of time. So we're going to have to wrap up now. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Yep, my pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, thank you for being here yet again today. I just love that we get together every day and do this. Lynda.com, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, please, lynda.com/TDO. Sign up for a 10-day free trial and start learning stuff. And then let me know what you're learning because I want to know how you are smarter than me. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.